to Heartland Darkland. I am Shannon.
And I'm Cassie. Hey, Dark Hearts.
Hey, Dark Hearts. Welcome. I'm chipper today. I have an energy drink. Cassie, I'm giving you some energy.
Yeah, my son woke up at 3:45 having had a nightmare, and he never went back to sleep.
Ew. And he was like good to go for school. He didn't try to stay home, or did he? You know how kids
are. Nope. He seemed okay, but I messaged his teacher and I was like, hey, heads up. Because I
hit that wall,
sat with him for a minute, and then I went back to bed, and then at like 4:15 he came back in. So I just went in there because my husband had to work like and be up in like an hour.
Oh gosh.
So I was like, okay, well, I'm not gonna try to go back and forth. And so at like 4:30-ish, he was dozing, and then he said he was good, so I just went to the couch. But yeah, I checked his Fitbit. He never went back to sleep, and he admitted he didn't. I was like, did you ever go back to sleep? And he said no. So I gave his teacher a heads up. Now. I was like, yeah, I was like, so far he's good. But if he gets extra emotional,
he's overtired. Yes, any child that's emotional, I always chalk it up to you need to go to bed. That's pretty much what the daily conversation is at our house anymore. So, you know.
Yep. Yeah. So it's a fun day.
Yeah. Fun day. I got out an energy drink because I was like, just tired. I was not up at 3:45, but I just felt like I should have one anyway. And so it's a good thing. I guess I'm telling the case today because I'll just zip through it. Maybe. I don't know. But since we're trying our new little format, or I guess first business items, if we have any, do you want to talk about the event?
Oh yeah. Again? So yeah, we have that, Martyrs in Malvern Manor, on February 2nd. Tickets are still available. That will be linked in the show notes. And there is actually going to be food that you can buy as well for it. So you just need to message them on there and let them know what you want.
It sounds like good food, actually. Yeah. I mean, I can't eat any of it, but it sounds legit. That's okay.
Yeah, it sounds bomb. Well, there'll be salads. Mm-hmm. Did also get, because have you ever, you know, some of those paranormal shows, they have those light up cat toys, like those balls that like, if you hit it, it lights up. And so use them to try to communicate. Yeah. I may or may not have bought some of those,
you know what,
to try and use.
That's fun. And that's like a cheap thing. I was going to say, and then you can use it, but no, you cannot use it after that.
No, I don't. But, I don't have kitties.
But you used to, right? So like,
I did. Yeah. They're even too small too, that I can't even try to let Wick play with it
because I'll just choke on it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Eat it.
Although let's be honest, my kids would probably find enjoyment with them. That's anyways.
True. Cats generally don't play with cat toys anyway. I have noticed they always just want like the plastic bag or the
or
straw wrapper or a box. Yes. A box.
Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's fun. So, but yeah,
join us for that, you guys. Also, FYI, I'm hoping it'll be nice because like next week is supposed to be in the 40s.
Yeah. And I saw I have to look again because I was just
like
telling
47 on one of those days.
Next Thursday, 55.
Oh my goodness.
I know.
Hey, wait, that is the week of, right?
Yeah. That's like the day before. Yeah.
Yeah.
So hopefully that snow shit's gone. It's like melted by then and it's not like gross because you know how now it's like
where's it all gonna go? It's gonna be so muddy. And
I know, that's my daughter was like, are we gonna have a flood again? And I was like, oh yeah, I forgot about that whole thing because of like the excess ice. And
yeah, my husband brought that up and I was like, oh shit, I didn't even think about that. I suppose it could.
Let's hope not, but I know that's coming up. And at least it'll be nice weather, hopefully. At least not as cold, if anything.
I did see, I think this was in our chat with the other people who are doing this with us, that there is heating in like the main area and like a couple places, but like some of the other parts don't necessarily, which I totally get. Like if you have a place that's not, you're not using all of it and you can turn off heat to the other part, like why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
So, I mean, just know like, bring stuff in case it is kind of cold, but the main areas should be pretty decent.
Yeah. Cool. Perfect. Yeah. That's it for business items, I believe.
Yeah. As far as I can think of currently.
Yeah. So I guess since we're trying out this new, like just switching it up because it's fun to switch things up, talking about local, not local, but just talking about cases at the beginning. Like Cassie's got that for today.
Yes. So I was going to bring up Tyler Goodrich, which a listener brought up to me, but you had already, I know, kind of seen some stuff. I don't know how I missed this, but Tyler Goodrich is actually 35 years old. His birthday's like 7 days before mine in April. So he's 35 years old, but he was last seen on November 3rd of 2023 in Lincoln, Nebraska. He's still missing. So he and his husband got into an argument that evening. I don't know the details of this, but apparently it led to, like, this argument led to his husband calling 911. And then while he was on the phone with 911, Tyler left the house with, like, his phone, wallet, and all of that. But his cell phone hasn't pinged since that evening around near his house. So it's like he instantly turned his phone off then, I would think. And because he's also works for the correctional facility.
Correct.
And he hasn't been seen since then. His husband filed a missing persons report the following morning, like 9:45 a.m.
Yeah, which at least I was like, that's good. I mean, I know they don't do a lot with it as far as adults at that point yet anyway.
Yeah. But, and I want to say, it was around 7:41 p.m. was the last time he was seen on security camera running along a gravel road south of his home in Lincoln, Nebraska. So, yeah, he's just never returned home, and he's not been heard from anyone at home.
Which sounds very weird, because from what I understood, like, he was very close with, like, his parents, siblings, or sister. I know he has a sister, I want to say, at least.
Yeah, I think he has siblings. I saw something about, but yeah, okay,
kids,
so.
Kids, too. I mean, like, that's crazy.
It said, okay, so his cell phone last pinged on Southwest 13th and West Van Dorn Street was, again, was near his home. And he didn't appear in any distress, like, in any footage they did see, because prior to this, he had been at Costco picking up pizza for the family and stuff. But even his bank account has had no activity since he disappeared, or his social media or phone. And I don't know.
It's really weird, because I know that, too, he was, like, a runner. And I know the thing that I remember seeing was that he was supposed to run in this marathon, like, that weekend. I can't remember what they even call it, but one of the big ones in Lincoln that they do, and he didn't show up for it. And so they were like, that's weird too, because he's, like, very into that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it's weird too, because after it happened, maybe part of the reason you didn't hear about it is, like, I feel like it was all over the news for, like, not very long. And then all of a sudden it was like, okay, on to the next thing. And there hasn't really been much since then.
And there could be, and well, and it says, police found no evidence of foul play, but I mean, that just seems really weird. Like, if he's not using any of his money or anything like that.
Right. Like, what? I don't know. It does seem weird. And if they had looked everywhere and his phone was off that fast, it's not like, I mean, if there was foul play or someone had just taken him that quick, like, what are the chances that the phone would have been off that fast and they wouldn't have found some sort of sign of, like, a struggle or something? But it sounds like their argument too, that he had, like, you know, spawned him to leave. So it's like, it seems weird that he would have had something like this planned also to just leave that quickly.
But then I guess the thing said, like, they had had an argument or something, like, they were discussing, and it led into an argument about their relationship. So I wonder if they were having marital troubles.
Maybe. It's so weird.
And then, you know, too, it's like, why did the husband, you know, call the police?
Right.
Like, why during the argument? Like, did he fear for himself? Did he fear for Tyler? Because, like, maybe he was talking self-harm or something like that. So
that's true.
That's kind of
what I thought too. Like, why nobody really knows the fight that they had and what was said except for those two. Yeah. And what spawned that call to 911, and is there information they're not telling us that they know about it? I mean, I don't know. And how old did we ever find out how old their kids were? Because, like, were the kids there where they could testify and say, like...
It sounds like at least the youngest... this article that I saw didn't say the children's age, but it said something about the youngest being there. Or, like, them having dinner together.
Oh, wait, hold on. I'm looking up something here too, and I don't know if this is accurate, but it says he's the father of two teenage sons.
Okay.
Whom he adopted with his husband. But so like you would think teenagers would be able to be like, yeah, they fought all right. the time or
yeah.
I don't know.
But this doesn't even say it. It just says that he had dinner with his husband, Marshall Vogel, and their youngest son. Later that night, the couple reportedly got into an argument upon discussing their relationship, and Vogel ended up calling 911. While Vogel was on the phone with 911, Tyler left their home through the garage. So that's like, that doesn't even tell you like if the kid could have, I mean, because it, I don't know what day November 3rd was anymore.
November 3rd was a Friday.
It was a Friday. So the teens could have like, they could have had dinner and then left. And then the parents were arguing, you know. That's
a broad timeline. Yeah, like there could have been a big gap in there. Well, in the video, I remember, like, I saw in the news, it shows him, like, going outside, and you see him outside, and you can see just, like, the light from his phone.
Yeah.
And then you see him just, like, run off, and that's it, because then he's out of view. But it's, like, crazy, because you would think...
I guess I took it as him driving.
Oh, no, he, like, ran, like, physically ran. From what I saw, unless he runs to get in a car, I guess, but the thing I saw was him running, which then I was like, okay, because...
I guess it just said he left through the garage, and I just assumed that meant
he took off on foot.
But I suppose they would have mentioned
he's
the car
a runner too,
in.
Though. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it said he would run marathons. So, I mean, he's used to running long distances too, which makes you wonder. But like by that time, you would think someone else would have caught something on their cameras or something, unless he was like out in a country road. But then you would think too that there would be some sort of, I don't know. I mean, like even if you're in the gravel and stuff, there'd be signs of like, feet movement. I don't know, because it wasn't like snowing at all until
it wasn't then.
Snowmageddon.
It was still nicer, so that would make sense, I guess, if he was frustrated and he just needed to leave, and like running was his way to like go off and vent.
That's how I took it, anyway. Maybe that's what he just was like. I'm just going to go for a run.
Yeah, that makes
sense.
And
then just never came home. But so what happened in that time? You know?
Yeah, that's extra weird.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, if anyone knows more about that case, please do.
Yeah, let us know.
Do share. And if you know anything, too, is there any information? I mean, I'm sure it's just the Lincoln, Nebraska.
I haven't found anything that was, like, more recent than December.
Yeah. Is that the one? I think so, too. That's what I mean. I think it's really weird that, like, I kind of forgot about it. And when you just... brought it up, I was like, oh yeah, I remember that, because I had followed it pretty well, and then you just stopped hearing about it, and that's really sad too, because
the only thing I see, the newest thing I see, is from 5 days ago.
My dog just sneezed, sorry about that. Did you hear that?
I did
shook my computer. Wow,
I love it. Okay, 5 days ago, the Lincoln Journal Star posted an article saying Nancy Grace gets the facts wrong about Tyler Goodrich case.
Well, Nancy Grace is extra anyway. Yeah, and loves the sound of her own voice, so
yes.
I mean, yeah, I'll watch and I think, okay, sorry, my dog is being really extra right now and wants to keep pushing my computer, so just a moment here. Okay.
There's a Reddit post about it and stuff. Yeah, and there is a Facebook page called Let's Find Tyler Goodrich.
I'm gonna join that page because I'm curious now. I didn't see that. Let's see.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't
know. Okay, guys. If you guys know something. Lots of groups here. Not lots of groups, but there's what happened to Tyler. And yeah. Okay. It is really sad too. And just how do people just disappear into thin air this day and age? You know, like. It's hard to do now with technology, and
it is.
So that's very interesting.
Yeah. I don't know. That's interesting. But yeah, so that's Tyler Goodrich. And wow. Shannon, you've got the case this week. So where are we at?
Well, we're going to be in Michigan this week. And I will warn you, this is a pretty grisly case. Okay. Obviously, there's some like graphic details that I have to share as far as just the basic parts of it. But so just trigger warning. If you don't like hearing that kind of thing. So there was tons and tons of articles on, sorry, my dog is so extra. You know, they're always fine till we start recording, but we love dogs. So once my dog just decides to lay down, we'll be fine. But I'm just going to keep going unless it's
fine.
Okay.
No, it's, you're fine.
Okay. So there's also like a documentary on this. I did not watch it just because of time purposes, but I got plenty of information from everything else. But it's called Final Moments is the name of the series. And that's on Oxygen, but I guess that also shows up on Peacock like the next day. I did not know that that's a Peacock thing too. So I don't have the case or the episode number and all that, but I'm sure if you Googled it in Final Moments, you'd be able to find it. So like I said, it's a pretty bad case. We're going to be talking about Ashley Young. So Ashley Young at the time of her death was 31 years old and truly just a gem to everybody that knew her. And like I say, you know, we always say this about all of them, but this one, like, she genuinely seemed just like such an amazing person. And you could tell just when you see pictures of her, you're like, yeah, she looks like just a fun, bubbly person you would totally want to hang out with. And kind of a cool story, but backstory on her too, was that Ashley's mom was told when she was like 18 that she would never be able to have children. And then lo and behold, she got pregnant with Ashley. And so her mom said that just made her even that much more of like an actual treasure to her and them. And they had such a close bond. So her mom, Christine, I will talk about her a lot in this story. And her mom also a treasure. I'm like, I just want to hang out with Christine. Like, she's amazing. So, yeah, they were just super, super close. And Ashley was just described as like the kind of person who would go out of her way to do things for people. She loved to make people happy and she was always just happy. So she wanted other people to feel happy too. And her thing was like writing notes to her friends just to cheer them up. And so like, I mean, legit, like out there being the light in the room, as we need to say, she really did light up the room. So they even said her favorite saying, this made me laugh because it's like so cheesy, but of course someone amazing that got murdered would say something like this, but she would say, if I bought you a smile, would you wear it? So yeah, like anybody's just lucky to have her as a friend. She's just amazing. So it just makes the story that much worse because you obviously know what direction this is probably going, but she graduated from Grand Haven High School in Michigan in 2005. And she was just working some odd jobs kind of, you know, around town that just allowed her to really work and like help people. Sorry, my dog. I am so sorry. I think she's going to go lay down now. Okay. So sorry. It'll just lighten the mood a little bit since we're going down a dark road.
Yeah.
But she was working at like a group care home for adults with special needs, of course, because she's amazing. And at the time that she died, she was actually just working at a call center at a bank. And she was also taking classes at Kalamazoo Valley Community College. So she would have graduated that coming May. This takes place in November. So she was close to graduating. And she was at a two-year like community college. And so she actually had plans to study language and culture at a four-year school after that. She loved learning about different cultures and religions. And she was actually dating a guy at the time, not at the time of her death, but prior to that. And he was Islamic. So she wanted to study his religion and learn more about it just because she loved him and wanted to support him, which I thought was super cool because a lot of people would not do that. So I always think it's neat when people are interested in learning about other cultures and stuff. Cause I'm like, yeah, that could make our world a better place. If people could understand 100%. Each other a little bit. Yeah. So, that's kind of just, you know, the background on that. She always gave people the benefit of the doubt. And well, this is definitely a good quality, I think, but it also can hurt you because she thought that everybody had a little bit of good in them, no matter what. And we know that this isn't always the case. Yeah. And definitely not the case with one of her friends, whose name is Jared Chance. So Jared Chance, 30 years old at the time of her death, the way he was described was quite the opposite of how Ashley was described. So he was just known to be very unpredictable. He would get angry at the drop of a hat. He had a very, very troubled past and tons of issues with the law. And these ranged from everything from drug possession, theft, assault, you know, all of the things. So
yeah,
in a 10-year span, there were 38 run-ins he had with the law. And those are just holy the ones shit. On record.
Yeah.
So kind of just to give you an idea of some of these issues he had here. So like in July of 2009, he headbutted a police officer right in front of his parents.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're going to do that even in front of your parents, you clearly have no shits to give. And also keep
and
his
to
parents.
A police officer who can arrest you.
Right.
That's assaulting a police
dumbass.
Officer.
Yeah. That's even worse.
Yeah, no.
And just remember his parents, because we're going to come back to those assholes later too. So another thing he was charged with was he crawled through one of his girlfriend's doggy doors at her house after being told he couldn't come over. So yeah, that's another thing. I hate doggy doors for that reason alone. Like, I don't care how little that shit is. Like, no.
Well, so, I mean, I feel like nowadays people are smarter, like they're more solid and you actually lock them.
Yeah, that's so true. They make them better than they used to. But I think about like Ferris Bueller too, you know, when he's like sliding in through there, it's like, and Home Alone, there's a lot of that crap too. Yep. They just shouldn't be a thing unless they're going to be locked. But so he's a gem here. So he also was very violent with his parents and his brother, and the police were called to their home several times. He even had to be tased one time in his own home after he was punching a police officer.
Oh my God.
So interestingly enough, there's not a lot of like information on his childhood really until his teen years, when he just went crazy with his behavior.
It sounds to me like there's probably some major mental health stuff going on with this kid.
That's funny, because in here I literally just put, or in my notes, I said there was no word on any mental illness or abuse up until this point. So,
yeah.
I mean, clearly undiagnosed. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, because I know someone and I've read other cases where the kid will have a great childhood, but there's something in them that's just wired differently to make them violent. And this person I know has had to actually give up custody of her child in order to get him the help he needs, because the only way to get him that help is for him to be a custody of the state or a ward of the state, which is so sad. Like, there should be
That sucks that that's the only
better stuff. But she also has other younger kids that she has to worry about. And, you know, they'll sit there and try to come back. And she's like, no, he just recently had these violent outbursts and he's threatened to kill me and his siblings. Like, I'm not bringing him home.
No.
And it's not a matter of her not trying and not caring for her son. It's a matter of us not having.
Yeah. And that's like
proper
love of a parent to give up that. I mean, for your child's sake. So, I mean, that says a lot about her parenting. That's amazing that she would do that just to get him the help and to protect her other children and herself. So,
yeah. So this is something that when you say this, it kind of makes me think, I'm like, okay, now mind you, there could be shit, which again, isn't an excuse for this, but if this is something, it almost sounds like maybe he was fine until we hit those horn. Like, maybe we acted out. Maybe we were a little bit of a moodier child, but people are just like, oh, he'll grow out of it. And then hormones of puberty hit, and that can a lot of times exacerbate mental health issues.
Right. And then it's like, when he's been getting away with things this long and just continuing, like, you're not getting him any help, it's just going to continue. Someone doesn't just one day wake up and say, I'm going to stop living my life this way. I mean, they can, they should, that'd be cool, but especially when they're young. So there was just a lot of that. And he, in 2016, he even assaulted his little brother. His name is Conrad. He took a blowtorch and put it like right up to his face. And and the whole time while he had it right by his face, he was hitting him with a stick. And he said, I'm going to fucking kill you, you F word. I can't say the F A G word. That's
Oh,
I just can't say that.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, there's a lot of mental abuse clearly going on there too. So back to Ashley being just the kind of person who always wanted to help people and thought that there was always some good in them. She had actually met Jared through working somewhere. I'm not sure where, but they were friendly. I mean, they weren't best friends, but she saw him just, you know, as a troubled guy. And she thought there's some good deep down. She thought, you know, he's just made some bad life choices and he was just getting a really shitty deal out of his life. So,
well, and let's face it, someone like that probably played the woe is me.
Oh, yeah.
Sympathize with me. Everyone's against me. It's not really my fault. It's because of how things were dished out at me, you know?
Yeah, totally. And I think, yeah. And when you know that kind of person and you can tell that they're just a nice person, like they're going to, I mean, she basically just, you know, I mean,
unfortunately, those types of people can see what people, like, they know, they can just tell which type of people they can feed that to and who are going to go with it. Well,
and she kind of saw life, I mean, you know, with the rose colored glasses and all that, because that's, and I don't think there's anything wrong with people being like that. I think there needs to be more people like that in the world that want to do good, but it really is shitty when they get taken advantage of in these kind of situations. So, you know, naturally she's wanting to help him, help him to change. So they were friends and she really, really, I think, thought she would be able to change him. So they were friends. And then up until the point where he actually broke into her apartment at one point, stole a bunch of her shit, and he turned around and sold it. So at that point, she's like, yeah, we're going to cut ties. We can't really be friends. Like, that's enough of that. So, you know, everybody was like, good. Like, her family, her friends did not like this guy to begin with. Right. And so they were like, yeah, we told you he's an asshole. Like, no.
Yeah.
So she cuts ties. So then in 2017, a friend of Ashley's said that she should give Jared another chance. I don't know who this friend is, why they felt that way, but they said, you know, he's really struggling right now. He really needs a friend. You were such a good influence on him. I want to say, why doesn't this person, whoever this friend was, go be his friend then?
Yeah.
And so, you know, she was kind of like, I don't know. Her whole family, like her mom, Christine, and her friends were like, no, he's a piece of shit. Move on. He's not worth it. And she just, like, deep down felt bad for him. And so she starts talking to him again. She tried to kind of stay at, like, an arm's length, but, you know, that's never how that goes, because he's going to cling to her when he finally knows that he has someone that he can kind of control.
Those people don't accept boundaries. And if you let them keep stepping over it, they're just going to.
Yeah, for sure. And that's exactly what he does. And so her mom straight up said to her, like, he's not a good guy. He's pure shit, is what her mom said. Like, I just like the mom because she's funny and she says it how it is. And, but she knew, you know, she can't control her adult daughter who was, I think, 30 or 31. And, she was like, I mean, I guess she's going to do what she wants, but, you know, she said Ashley just didn't believe that anything bad would ever happen. And she wore the rose colored glasses and now she's dead, is what her mom said. And that sucks. So around this time, Ashley was going to be getting her own apartment. From what I understand, she had been living with her ex-boyfriend, and she was moving out and getting her own place. And her mom was going to co-sign on the lease with her. And they had like a time that they were going to meet at the apartment complex to sign the papers and all the things. So that was on November 29th of 2018. Ashley was super excited for her own apartment. So there was no reason as to why she wouldn't go to do that. So when the time came for them to do this, Ashley didn't show up and she knew that something was wrong. Christine was like, okay, she wouldn't just not show up for her new apartment that she's super excited about. So she tries to call her, can't get a hold of her, doesn't really know where to look for her at this point. And, you know, she's an adult. So she's like, I mean, it's very likely she could just be out of friends or doing whatever. It's not like something is wrong just because she's not showing up. So she said, you know, took a couple days for her kind of just to figure out and piece it together. All the while she was like messaging her friends on Facebook and stuff. Nobody knew anything. But this is a kind of a weird part too. So before Ashley had not even shown up to sign the lease and all that, that day of early that morning at 5:45, Christine woke up and she said when she woke up, it was the weirdest thing. Her arms and her legs went numb. And she said, looking back at it now, she knew that's the moment that her daughter was murdered. So just remember that, because we're going to talk about some creepy ass stuff with that. And so that was before she even had plans to meet with her. So she didn't think anything of it. And so that just gives me the chills, even though I even know all the things that happened. But so she's continuing to look for Ashley, and she knows that Ashley had seen Jared in the days prior. She wasn't sure exactly, but she tries to reach him. She finally gets a hold of him and he's like, yeah, sure. Like, we were together on November 28th. We went to the hookah lounge, which that just makes me laugh. That takes me back to college. Anyway. It's been a minute, but I forget that's still a thing. So he said they went into that and then they went to Mulligan's Pub, which is in Grand Rapids. He said that they spent most of the evening between those places and into the early hours that next morning of November 29th. He said that that same next night, that's his words, I guess that would be just the 29th, later that day, whatever, that they went back to both of those places. And he said that while they were there, she actually lost her phone. And so that was probably why Christine wasn't able to reach her, because Ashley was going to go back on November like 30th. This would be to get the phone. So he's like, you'll probably hear from her soon because she lost her phone there. And so that's probably why you, you know, couldn't reach her. So he like just completely bullshits her. And I think that's what pisses me off a lot about this too, is he just goes on and like adds information that really like, why mess with this lady too? Like, just say you haven't seen her or talked to her. You don't need to offer information that's going to give her any sort of false hope. Because then he's like, well, I know that she had to go to back to Kalamazoo to work the third shift at this call center. And Christine's like, that doesn't make any sense. She's never worked that shift. And Ashley and Christine were like super tight, you know? And so like,
if she's
like, I would know if my daughter worked that shift. Like, she would let me know too, if she was going to do something completely out of the norm, especially with this apartment signing. And so she even says like, no, I don't think that that's right. That doesn't make any sense. He's like, yeah, I don't know. But you know, I just talked to her and I know she's fine. So yeah, then he takes it an extra step and says, but if you really want, call my friend. His name is Demetrius. I hope so. That's the right name. Demetrius Taylor. He's our friend. He actually works at the bar that we were at, Mulligan's. And he saw us there and maybe he knows something about her. He might know where she's at because he's our friend. So just call
okay. But
him.
If you just talk to her, like, why haven't I just talked to her?
Right. Exactly. I'm sorry, but she's not going to contact him and not her mom because it just talks about their relationship from the beginning. They were super tight. And like, she has a dad that's, I think, somewhat involved, but not, I mean, they primarily, everything I read was very focused on just the mom and daughter relationship. So he's like, so he gives her this Demetrius, I don't know how to say it. I keep saying it wrong and it doesn't sound right when I say it, but he gives the phone number to her. And then he also is like, you know, here's a bunch of our other friends' phone numbers to call them, check with them. They might know. Well, this little asshole, it turns out all of the numbers that he gives to her are fake numbers. Not one of them is right. So she's not messing around. So she ends up finding the real phone number of this Demetrius, calls him. He says, I don't even know who she is. I've never met her. Unfortunately, I don't know where she is because I don't know her. So Christine's a little puzzled by that. So she calls Jared back. She's like, hey, this guy said that you're lying. You know, what the hell? No, like, I don't trust you. What do you know? And he just hangs up on her and then he stops communicating with her at all. So Christine was like, you know, F this. And so she goes to the police now and files a report. And, you know, she obviously hadn't done that right away because of the fact that she is an adult. And it's not like they would have done anything with it right away, regardless, which is sad. But it's been at least probably 48 hours or close to it by now. So she files the report. Then she just like looks into everything. She goes to Mulligan's. She asks to see their surveillance footage. I'm like, you go, Christine. Like, yeah, you're a badass for even thinking to do all of this. So she demands to see the footage and she watches it. And you do see Ashley that first night. You can see her there with Jared. She's laughing. Just looks like herself, having a great time. And Christine said that when she kept watching that, all she wanted to do was like grab her out of the screen and like pull her out and protect her from whatever happened to her.
And I was like, that's such a motherly instinct. Can we also talk about how Mulligan's was real legit in showing this to her? Because a lot of times,
no shit, without like a search warrant.
A lot of times I'm like, no, we're not giving you this information and stuff. Yeah. But like, good on them for being like, you know what, this is a concerned mother.
Yeah,
like if we can this give mom, her peace of mind.
I love this mom. Everything I saw with her, like, she's just very no BS. Like, I wouldn't mess with her. If she came in right now and said, I need to search your home, I'd probably let her in just because she's like, she's legit and she's a mama bear that's pissed, and I get it. So they show it to her. So she sees her, but they look at that next night of surveillance when Jared said that they went back there, and she's never on there. So on December 2nd, which is a few days after all of this, the police get a phone call from Jared's neighbor, Mario Nelson. So
let me guess, his place smells.
Oh, weird. It's like you knew. Okay, so Mario Nelson lives in the same apartment complex as Jared. So he lived below Jared, from what I understand. He calls. This guy is something else, too. I tell you what, like, I like this guy. He's funny as shit. I'll talk about him a little bit more, and I have to just make this case a little bit more lighthearted because of how gross it is. But he calls, he tells the police, like, it smells like straight up raw sewage in this apartment. He said it was so bad, he had to go see if something was wrong, if something happened. I guess this was like a shared basement. I don't know exactly the setup of this apartment complex. Sounds like it was more of like one divided up as far as, you know, I don't know, like just a bit
like
main,
a home
like
that was,
yeah,
like,
I don't know if it's like an unfinished basement at what,
yeah,
but he goes downstairs to this shared basement and he sees this big tarp just laying down there, and he says he sees a stream of blood coming from it. Later when he testifies in trial, he says, this guy, there's blood in my basement. I don't know if that's normal for anyone else, but there's not supposed to be blood in my basement, was his phrase when they asked him what he discovered and why it was strange to him. Yeah, you think. So
yeah.
So back to that December 2nd phone call. The police show up after this. They said that initially just walking in, it was the clear odor of decay. They are very familiar with the smell of death, yeah, unfortunately. They look under this tarp, and in there was the torso of a female, nothing else. Now, remember when her mom had that dream and she said that her arms and legs went numb? Well, this torso was missing arms, legs, and her head. Does that not give you chills, though, thinking of that, dream?
But, like, also, what part in your head do you think it's a good idea to leave part of a deceased person in a shared
okay,
basement?
That's what I was just coming to here. I literally have, this is a shared, in all caps, basement.
Yeah.
Dumbass. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, no. So they find that. They also find a bloody saw blade. And in the furnace duct, there were hundreds of unused casings. But there was also two used casings from a .22 caliber gun that were clearly hidden, but not the body. Let me go ahead and hide these shell casings.
But we're also going to keep the saw that we used to dismember the body out and about, too.
Because that sounds really smart. So,
yeah.
Okay. Things okay. not to do when you kill someone. Please don't yeah. kill someone. PSA. There.
Yeah.
But
yeah. Unless they really, really deserve it.
Yeah. You know, like, listen, Jared is a piece right now. Like,
Listen, okay. I'm not going to lie. I'm not opposed to some vigilante justice if we're 100% sure this person's a POS.
Yeah. Like this, for example. And it just keeps getting worse. I mean.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So they look on the back porch patio area of Jared's apartment. They find a black trash can with a mop, two more saw blades, a boot, a bathtub drain cover, more trash bags, a plastic bottle of ammonia, blue latex gloves, a pair of jeans with his name in them, and a bunch of rolls of plastic wrap. So several of these items were soaked in blood, and obviously they don't get the results right away, but when tested, they do test positive for human blood, and they also test positive for Ashley's blood.
Imagine that. Jeans with your name in them. First mm-hmm. of all, are you an elementary student that your mom has to write your name in your clothes?
Correct. And it just gets worse and worse. Like, if you think that's dumb, just wait.
I mean, leaving the torso in a shared basement was already. Yeah.
Also, we'll talk about this a little bit more too, but it's like, if you had time to do a lot of the things that you did, why did you not get rid of the torso? Like, maybe you had time. I don't. Yeah.
I okay. Yeah.
I mean, clearly we're not working with the
yeah.
sharpest guy here, but
yeah.
They search his backyard, and they also find three shower curtain rings. And in his bathroom, the shower curtain had been ripped down and it was gone somewhere. So that's just, we'll talk more about that too. So then get this, in the stairway leading up to his apartment. So just out in the hall is how I'm taking this. They find women's black boots, a fan box, and by that I mean, like, I'm hot, let me turn on a fan to blow the air. Yeah. Oh, like that a box kind of fan. A fan. Yeah, box fan. There you go. a like cardboard box of that.
Gotcha.
And a purple tote bag. So there's also another cardboard box with Jared's name and address on them. Okay. They open this box. And inside this box are two legs and two arms, both without feet or hands. So, yeah. In so a box with his name.
I mean,
too. And it's just sickening
to you. You should have just gone straight to the police then. If you were going to do all of this and
save yourself some time, if you're going to get caught anyways, why go through all of that and mutilate a body? Like, yeah. It's just sick. So they look in this purple tote bag and they find shoes, a medicine bottle, and more shower rings that matched up with the other ones from the shower. So, like, my thing on that too is, why are you scattering these shower rings, like trying to hide those? But you're not.
Yeah, of all the things you're trying to hide, it's the shower rings.
Mm-hmm. In this fan box, this, yeah, was duct tape, a trash bag. In this trash bag was blood-stained clothing belonging to a woman and blood-stained bedding. All of these did test positive for being Ashley's DNA. There were a couple other DNA matches on those as well, but that's kind of to be expected, I think, in this situation, just being that she was out doing things and stuff. In his kitchen, they find a few tiles that were stained dark red, and they're like the big tiles. I mean, not like, you know, the little ones. Yeah. So, they find a utility knife in the trap of the toilet hidden. Like, he's like, they're not going to look in there.
He hides the most random shit.
I know. And then leaves arms and legs out in the hallway
with his name on them.
Mm-hmm. They found a white hand towel with a reddish brown stain. They also found a pair of jeans size 30 with a brown stain on the right upper front. And in the trap of the kitchen sink, it tested positive for human blood and tissue. It was like, I don't know how else to describe it, but like a slaughterhouse really is what it was like, and he hadn't even really cleaned anything. They also found human blood in the washing machine and a black hoodie and a bath mat both tested positive for Ashley's blood as well. So they at least have enough to take him in. Yeah. So he gets charged with mutilation of a dead body and concealing a death, but that's all they can really charge him with as of right now until they have more. So they talk to more neighbors that lived around him, and everyone talks about just how violent he was and how he had made comments about how he knew how to kill someone and get away with it.
Clearly you don't.
So yeah, I'm like, actually, you don't know.
You're
like,
not even kind of.
No, 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 no. So December 5th, they go to his parents' house. Just obviously you're going to interview everyone involved, you know, involved with the person, but
well, yeah,
they knew, or they knew that Jared too had been with his parents in the days after the murder. Cause this was kind of, you know, a stretch of a few days. So they just automatically get a search warrant to search his parents' house since he had been there. They knew that. And lo and behold, you're going to be just shocked. They find a shower curtain in the garage that matched the one that had been missing from his apartment. And they take that for evidence. They search the parents' living rooms and, you know, they find all the things you would find normally. They find a couch and a coffee table, just some knickknacks, and also, you know, a black and red skill saw with blood and tissue under the floral couch. Just under the couch. Yep. Also, but I thought that had very blood
and tissue, wouldn't that smell too?
One would think, yeah. So very interesting fact too. His father was a retired police officer. So also, like, you would think that maybe he would know that that's probably not a smart place to put it. I don't know.
I guess my only thing is if somehow Jared brought it over and his parents didn't see him put it there.
There's that. I mean, it could be. We'll talk about it more without giving too much away because it just gets wild. Like, this is just insane. They also find a washcloth soaked in blood in the basement of his parents' house. And in his parents' Honda CRV, they find an empty ammonia bottle, an empty latex glove box, and it's all labeled from the store Miss Tracy's Party Store, which was just like a local place. So
okay,
it's almost like just a murder kit or cleanup murder kit.
Yeah.
So naturally they go there like, hey, Tracy, we got some questions for you. Can we see Miss Tracy, please?
Yeah.
And they go there, they get footage, and you can see Jared at this store clearly purchasing tons of things. And he was there multiple times doing this between November 29th and December 3rd. And they also are able to get footage of just surveillance around and outside of the building where they see him go behind the store and he dumps a bunch of shit in the dumpsters behind the store. So of course they go look there. Like, is this guy really that dumb too? This is 2017. I think I said, right? Like, clearly this, I mean, you would think you would know this. So they look in there and they find an orange bag with women's clothing. There was a prescription bottle in there with Ashley's name. Her purse was in there with her driver's license and her school ID. And there was lots of blood stains. And the hoodie contained like a very large amount of Ashley's blood in the hood, which makes you wonder what happened there. Also, you know, they've been looking for Ashley's car because that was just nowhere. And they find that about, you know, a street down, like a block from Jared's apartment. So they're really trying to just piece this all together. So they're not really sure exactly what even happened because Jared is like zipped lip. He will not say anything. And there's not enough body parts to really determine exactly what happened because they haven't found her head, her hands, or her feet. So we don't really know for sure, but they think that she died sometime between November 29th and December 1st. So there's large amounts of blood in the bedroom, kitchen, and bathroom. So it's believed that she was dismembered in the kitchen and bathroom based on the amounts of blood and tissue that were found there, but we don't even really know that for a fact. So Jared's parents, James and Barbara, and his younger brother, Conrad, drove to pick him up at his apartment and bring him home. I think I put, was this December 1st? They were able to figure this all out. So he had called and asked them to come pick him up. Like, he didn't really say why. They get there. He comes to the car carrying a cardboard box that had a black bag in it. And we now know that this was the box that had arms and legs. So he apparently tells them what happened. And they think they were like, okay, we need to cover this up. So on December 2nd, James, so this is Jared's father, James, retired police officer.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He takes Jared to the police station in Grand Rapids, and it's like they were trying to just cover his tracks. I'm not sure how they thought this was all going to work out for them, but they clearly sucked at it. So they go to the police, and this was being recalled later at trial. Jared's attorney claims that they went to the police in Grand Rapids and that the police there told them, you need to go to Kalamazoo area because the police there can take care of it, since that's where the missing persons report was filed. And it really just seems like Jared's like conditioned to not say anything. Like, his parents did cover it up for him.
Yeah.
And it's like, the way I understood this was kind of like his parents were like, we'll cover this up for you and you're going to take the fall for something, but you're not going to talk at all, you know, and you're going to get away with less if you own up to it. So he's not saying one word. So it's interesting because that's what they say happened. But the Grand Rapids police said, nope, that's not even close to what happened. They said James brought his son Jared in and demanded an attorney when they came in. And they said, he said, my son will not talk until he has an attorney. And they were like, hi, like, who are you? What do you want?
We don't have to provide that unless we're charging them right. something.
Who are you? Like, you just walked in our door and asked for an attorney. Like, excuse me?
Yeah.
So, yeah, we can't just, like, give you an attorney. So they left.
Yeah, so, you have to be charged with something, and then you have a right to an attorney. But you don't just show up and say, I need an attorney.
Right. That's, and they're like, do they think that that's not going to come out? Like, they're saying, like, the defense attorney is like, no, they went in there and tried to talk, and they sent them away. It's like, obviously, the police, like, they're going to be able to say, no, that's not what happened, you piece of shit. You liar.
And I would hope they'd also have cameras there at that point, at least.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I'm sure. So, yeah, so they just leave after that. Apparently this is when Jared, his parents take him back to his Grand Rapids apartment, and he has that box of legs and arms with him, and he is just like, whatever. He walks in up his apartment stairs, drops his shit outside the apartment door, goes back inside and just hangs out until police show up. Like, what? Okay, what?
First of all, there's so many thoughts. I love my children, but if they murdered someone in blood,
absolutely not.
Dismembered them.
If you take someone else's kid's life, like, you will pay the consequence.
I'm not protecting you from that.
It's different if it's like self-defense or some shit. Like, I have all this later on to talk about because I was like getting so heated. But like, I mean, we can obviously talk about it now too. I just think like,
but like, no, like vigilante murders. If you know 100%, 100%. I will help my child cover a murder if it's 100% self-defense, and I know this for a fact. You were a police officer. Shouldn't you know?
He's a big piece of shit. Yeah.
That police. Well, I mean, there's that. But also, like, listen, if you're going to help your child cover up a murder, you were a police officer.
Yeah.
Why did you not actually do it? Correct. You know what I mean? Like, if you thought it was like, oh, we're going to help you, but you didn't.
Yeah. No.
So this tells me you are not only a shit person, but you were a shit cop.
Yeah, totally. Yep. So, like I said before, they do determine that, of course, the body parts they do have are those of Ashley. They couldn't really determine the cause of death because without the neck, the head, they are able to piece together that they're sure the cause of death had something to do with those parts, and that is why they are missing. So they think that Ashley's head was hidden because that's how she died, based on the amount of blood. I feel like
he shot her in the face or something.
Yeah. They said, yeah, based on the amount of blood that they found, that they think it was either like repeated blunt force trauma mm-hmm. or gunshots to the head. And based on the casings they found, it could be it. However, Jared was known to always have a gun and just use it in reckless ways, which, yeah, we'll talk about that here now, I guess. I have it in here
How
now.
How does he have a gun? I feel like he's got to have some felony charges where he shouldn't be able to have weapons.
Yeah, no. I don't think it was illegally obtained. But
I mean, fair, but if he's known to have a gun, like, listen, yeah. If you have felony charges and you're not supposed to have a gun, maybe it shouldn't be well known that you have a gun.
Right, right. So we'll talk about that here in a minute, too. But also, based on the cuts to the bones that were sharp, that they said that indicated a strong saw was used, which matched the saw that was found at his parents' home. So, with that, hold on, sorry, I'm like making sure, I thought I missed something, but maybe it's further down here. With that, James, you know, the former police officer, and Barbara, they also are charged with perjury and accessory after the fact, because Good. They link that all to them. And also, like, how does the dad think that they're not going to get charged with anything, too?
Yeah.
Knowing that they were a part of it somehow. Okay. Anyway. Oh, yep. Here's my whole spiel about not defending my kid if they killed someone, unless the person was an asshole. Okay. We just covered that. Moving on. So the parents, since they knew of the dismemberment and they didn't tell the police when they were questioned, they had to have known that they would, you know, be charged with something else. But I think they thought that they would help him, like, get away with less. So they think that Barbara and James helped get rid of her head, knowing that that was going to be what really said, like, charged him, you know, with homicide, which, okay, yeah. You still have parts of a body to determine that that's what happened.
Yeah.
But it doesn't really help, because they still charge Jared with open murder, which I looked that up. That just means when they're not sure if it's a first degree or second degree type of charge, they just know that they're going for that.
Yeah.
And he was also charged with 4 counts of tampering with evidence, since they don't have a manner of death or cause of death at this point. But they really need Ashley's head, unfortunately, to be able to determine that. So, an employee from Mulligan's Pub said that they did see Ashley with a man at the bar, the 28th. They couldn't confirm that it was Jared or not, which I thought, then don't even say anything. Like, you're not helping. But they said that they are able to confirm that she was never there the 29th. So this kind of helps them start piecing things together. So Demetrius, the dude from the beginning, he ends up testifying in the trial, and he says Jared told him to tell Christine that Ashley had stopped by his house to use his phone. And he thought that was a really weird thing to say. So he tells the court, like, he said, or that he told Christine that he didn't know, like, what happened. And he thought it was really weird that Jared wanted him to lie for him. And he's like, I don't want to get involved in whatever drama this guy's got going on. And I'm not going to lie to this lady about her child. So he said, I told the truth and I told her I didn't know Ashley and I didn't know where she was. So after Jared found out that Demetrius had told Christine the truth, that he didn't know, he was super pissed. So he's like texting Demetrius, like threatening him and stuff. He's like saying, you fucked me over. You better delete all these fucking messages, bro. And you don't know what
like,
you did.
Why would you?
And like
that's
the you're delete like, the messages. Maybe don't send the messages.
Don't like, send them. And also, even if they're deleted,
they can find them.
They can get them.
Again. And not only that, like, why you're pissed at him. Okay. Like, cool. He's already said what he needed to say. So by you saying that now, like you're not really doing anything, but so also then, you know, Mario Nelson, his apartment, apartment, whatever. When he did testify to, he also talked about how Jared always had a gun. He said that he would see, like, he would just spin it on the table around and around. Like, yeah. Mario said it made him super nervous that he would play with it that much. And it made him super uncomfortable. He said that Jared always would brag to him too, that he knew how to get away with murder. And he also knew how to hide a body because his dad used to be an Irish mobster. Okay. Is it rule number one of Fight Club? Like you don't talk about Fight Club. So if you like anyone who's in the mob would know you don't talk about that if that was the truth. Yeah. So he's
and
just
also
like,
your dad clearly, let's say it was true that your dad was. He clearly wasn't a good member. And I don't know how, if he was, I'm pretty sure he would have ended up dead.
Yeah, for sure. Like, are you serious right now? What an idiot. So, kind of with the, like, there's so many things I put in here and I'm like, I don't know what order I had put them in. So I'll get to it, I guess, when I get there. We'll talk more about the, gun recklessness, but, so also Mario said that he saw Ashley at Jared's apartment around the time that they said she had gone missing. He said he went over there to smoke weed with Jared, and he said he wasn't sure what the date was when he went over there, but he said that while he was there, Jared asked him to like see if he could get into Ashley's car. And Mario said, what do you mean? Like, where's Ashley? He said, well, she locked her keys in the car and she needs help. She went left with a friend for right now, but I just need to get in her car for her while she's gone. He thought that was really weird too. Right.
Yeah.
So she drove a Ford Focus, and Mario's girlfriend later testified that she saw Jared driving a Ford Focus on November 30th. So Jared's brother, Conrad, also testifies. He's against his brother. So for the prosecution, which I thought good for him, because his brother's a dick. I mean, but he said that he had been at his brother's apartment leading up to Ashley's death. He said at one point that he went in the other room and that Jared had gone in the other room and got a gun, and he brought it out and just pointed it at Conrad and fired it multiple times, laughing without even checking to see if it was loaded. Ashley was there like at this time that they were hanging out, and he said Ashley was pissed, and she said, you are never supposed to do that. Like, don't you know that? You don't ever point a gun at anybody. Like, that's just, everybody knows that shit. And he just laughed about it. So, then Conrad said though that, you know, he had left or whatever, and then he returned a couple days later with his parents to pick up Jared, but he was really foggy on the details of that day. Of course, right? Mm-hmm. He said he just remembered helping Jared getting his stuff. He said that they were looking for Ashley's car and that everyone seemed super upset. They finally found her car parked about a street away, and that Jared got out, took some things out of it, and then got back in the car. So, yeah. The defense tries to say that maybe it was an accident, like he was playing with his gun. And it went off and he killed her. Okay, but that doesn't explain why he would have dismembered her. Like, if that accidentally happened, why wouldn't you call and say, like, that's a good opportunity to maybe call
then
the
it's
police?
Just, yeah, because then you have manslaughter.
Right.
I mean, you're still going to have reckless endangerment probably or something, like, but and a felon probably having a gun that you're not supposed to, but...
Yep. But even the pathologist testifies, like, this is not negligent. It was intentional based on the amount of blood. And this wasn't just like an oops situation, even though he was known to play with a gun. Like, who does that? Like,
yeah.
And even that, like, Russian roulette type thing, like, that's, you still know what you're doing when you do that. Like, it's not.
That's a choice you're making to do that.
Yeah. And also, I was kind of like, okay, I wish his brother would have, like, pissed on him more, because I'm like, he was such a dick to you, you know? But like, he sounds like he's scared of the parents, and I'm like, there's some kind of like,
I was gonna say,
threatening thing going on there with them, totally, because of how quiet, and we'll talk more about that too. But it even comes down to them offering a plea deal. I can't talk. Plea deal for Jared. They said that if he would reveal where Ashley's head and neck were, he would get 31 years, but he refused. He refused to tell anything. He would not say where her hands, feet, or neck, head, any of that were. So they're thinking, well, was there ligature marks? Like, was she bound? Is that why you disposed of her hands and her feet as well? Why else would you take the hands and the feet too, you know?
The thing is with a plea deal, depending on it, like if he had a good lawyer and stuff, like you only get 31 years. And when they find it, cause that's like, the Homolka or the chick, you know, the husband and wife in Canada, she made a plea deal. And then they found the videos afterwards that showed she was very much a willing participant, and she still got off because they had to honor the plea deal. Mm-hmm. And so it's like,
Okay, so it's like, dude, you're facing either like life or death. Life
or death. Or 31 years. And if you're 30 you'll probably get out it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, even if you don't get parole, you're still going to be 60 years old.
Yeah, exactly. But that says a lot, too. The fact that he was so scared to say that. Like, why? Like, what are you hiding, you piece of shit? Like, I just get so mad. Like, and when I post pictures or you look at him, like, he just has the deadest eyes, you know? Like, yeah. It just sickens me. But I guess not only positive, but there was no evidence of sexual assault. So at least there's that. But
see, and I would have felt like that would have been his motivation. Like, my thought was, like, she rejected him and he got pissed.
Right. I know. It really makes me wonder. And, like, did he just snap? Like, did she, you know, I think about, like, the time when it said she yelled at him and said, like, you're not supposed to ever point a gun at someone. Like, did she just say something like that at the wrong time and it just pissed him off and he just shot her? Like, you know, because it's just really weird. And I think that, I mean, they talk about him just getting angry at the drop of a hat. I'm like, well, that would explain it. So he gets convicted of second degree murder and mutilation of a corpse and sentenced to 100 years. Booyah, I wrote, because good. I think they really thought that without having her head or having a cause of death or any of that, that he wouldn't be charged with that. And I was like, I love a good judge.
I also think, though, sometimes with that case, it's more of a, we want the family to have some sort of closure. Like, it's more so about, like, hey, so that they can have all of their daughter, we will make a deal with the devil to do this. And he just got so cocky. Like, I don't know what he thought. It seems to me like he probably thought without the head, they couldn't do anything.
Yeah. And I think his parents thought that, too. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why they were like, okay, yeah, you're going to go down for some of this because we covered it up for you.
Yeah.
But, like, if you just keep your mouth shut, you won't get as much. But that backfired. So the judge straight up said to him that he didn't want him to have the opportunity to get out of prison until he was 130 years old. So Christine gave a statement right in front of his face while she's holding the remains of Ashley cremated. I watched the video of this. You should look it up on TikTok at some point. It is fiery. I mean, like, it makes you want to cry. She's screaming at him. She says to him, "You do not deserve to breathe. If I want a hug, I have to hug a box. You will never tell me where she is because you like to torment people, hurt people. You enjoy it." She said, "I listen to the voicemail of Ashley every day and I cry just hearing her voice and her laughter." She was like screaming this too. She said, "You had no right to take her away from me. Jared Chance, I hate you. I want to rip you apart limb by limb and discard you just like you did to Ashley. You threw her out like trash and she was your friend. Why?" Like, it makes me want to cry just reading that because like you can feel her passion behind it. And just like seeing the videos of that. And he looks down the whole time. I was like, I wish they had to look at them. You know, I know you can't force them, but I thought, piece of shit. She said to him, "I have no idea what Ashley even saw in you that was worth saving." So, I mean, that was a good one. Like, you know, you hear all these things where people are like, "I forgive you," and good for them. I mean, everyone has their own piece, but I thought good for you. And he made no facial expression the entire time. He was given the opportunity to make a statement or apologize, and he still refused. And he won't give any sort of motive. He won't say where the rest of her body is, nothing. So then the trial court judge gave it to him hard. I mean, I hope this guy feels like a piece of shit, because this judge said that this was one of the most gruesome crimes I have ever seen. "You, sir, are an evil individual. You are clearly a monster with no conscience whatsoever. You are someone who is a danger to society and should never be allowed free. Based on the guidelines they have to take into effect when deciding something, more significantly, the guidelines do not take into account the brutality of the matter and your lack of compassion and total lack of remorse. Unfortunately, I have been doing this type of work for 34 years. I have been on the bench for 13 years. I personally have been involved in over 200 death and murder cases. This, without question, is the worst case I have ever been involved in. What you did and what I saw in photographs was heinous. This goes beyond comprehension. For the jury to even have to see the limited number of pictures that I allowed was in this justice incomprehensible. And yet you sat in trial, and even today you make no comment. I know you have the right to not incriminate yourself. However, I observed you in this trial, and you seemed at the time to derive pleasure from the testimony in this trial that was described as gruesome. I thought,
oh man,
good for you though for saying that. So then his parents go on trial, and that later in October, his mom, 64-year-old Barbara, she pled no contest to accessory after the fact and to the counts of perjury. She was sentenced to 45 days in jail. And his father, who was 77, was convicted of accessory after the fact, but acquitted of one charge of perjury. The jury was deadlocked on that, which, whatever. He got 1 month in jail. Isn't that sick? So, because this was in like 2019 when they actually had gone to trial, when they were sentenced, this was in 2020. And because of COVID, it was all over Zoom. Mm-hmm. So at that time, both of Ashley's parents, her dad, and then Christine, and then Christine's partner, Dana, were there. And Christine made a statement to the parents at that time. And you can hear that too. I heard that on a different thing online, but I think it was on TikTok too. I thought it was great to listen to, because Christine is basically like pleading with them just to tell them what happened. She's just saying how can you possibly not help me with this? She said, my daughter's body parts and blood were all over your car, because he carried her legs and arms in there. She said, I pray every single night that you are tormented by what you have done. And if you have any grace at all in you, you know, like you will just tell me where she is. And it was pretty tough to listen to that. And then her dad speaks too, and he has a very thick accent. So he's kind of hard to understand, but he says that they don't deserve to walk the streets, that they are actors. And he was crying too, so it was even harder to understand. Yeah. But he said that you were a policeman. You held a badge. What is wrong with you? He also said he grew up on a farm and he knows what goes into slaughtering animals. And that's basically what they helped do to his daughter. They had the opportunity to respond back. And Barbara says that they're sorry for what happened and they prayed for their family and they wish they could change it. And they're sorry. That's it. No emotion involved at all. Yeah. They still will not say where Ashley's head is. So her head and her arm or her hands and feet were never recovered, still not recovered. And that's all Christine wants. She's just said, why won't they tell us where the rest of Ashley is? We want to bring her home. They owe that to her family. They owe that to her friends. So that is the case of Ashley Young. It's, super hard and gruesome. And the more I was like, I first looked at it and I was like, no, I don't want to do this. It's so icky. But then the fact, like, I don't think we've really done a lot of cases or were like the whole family's involved. Like,
yeah. And I don't remember this case.
I don't either. And that's why I was very shocked, because this was not even, years ago ish. Well, I mean, by the time it went to trial and stuff too, you think we would have remembered that just a few years ago. Because I saw that they made this documentary, and I want to say it was just from this past October that one came out, but the little bit, I watched a few clips of it and it was information I already had, so I hadn't watched it, but I kind of would like to go back just to see.
Yeah.
But yeah, that one's nasty and awful. Yeah, and I guess it sucks that you can't like trust people anymore, you know. Well, like,
and his parents should have gotten so much more time.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, so that's pretty gross too. And it seems really weird though that the brother, I don't know, like he was there, but like I don't know, it never really said. And like with all of that too, it's just weird to me, because I thought, okay, Jared is like never getting out. So why not just say, like, when his parents died, do you think he'll say like, okay, this is what happened. Like I was scared. But like, what's holding you back now? Like, you just don't want your parents to go to prison. Like, but then I read somewhere that his dad had a stroke, I don't know, within the past year or so. And it's like, okay, well, like when he's on his deathbed, will he finally just say what happened.
I doubt
and that's
it,
but... another thing. I'm like, you know, police have seen some shit. So maybe he, I mean, he had an idea of like what to do with her head, or, you know what I mean? To dispose of it to the point where they would never find it.
Yeah. But then why wouldn't you have done it with all of, you know?
Like, all of it. I know.
Yeah. Like,
unless
it doesn't make sense.
I know. And why would you just like hide something in clear, I mean, not hide it, I guess. It's not even hidden.
Yeah.
But like shoving a saw under your couch and stuff too. Like if you had that kind of time to do other things, like what the hell were you doing those other days? It's like you cared, but not really, you know?
Yeah. I don't know.
But that's wild to me. And so it'll be interesting to see if anything ever comes out of that. Like, what do you have to hold back now? I mean, it was interesting, though. I didn't put this in my notes because I wasn't even sure if I'd bring it up. But there was someone who had gone in to do, like a reporter went in to do an interview with Jared. And when they asked him, you know, like, why won't you say anything? Where is she? And he just, like, you can tell he's like, so close to breaking. And he just says, I can't say. And he just gets up and walks away. And I'm like, if they keep like drilling into him, he's going to crack at some point. Because what kind of mind control are they holding over him? You know,
see, that's just it. That makes me really curious then about the parents too, especially probably the dad.
Oh,
like, let's be honest. And if there was abuse in the family, if there's, you know, what kind of stuff is going on there. And I don't know, that's, you know, when you have that, like even the brother who did testify against him, if you did have this kind of mental abuse, not only from your brother, but from like maybe your parents and stuff, like that can be really hard to break and to get help from. So,
well, and like if the brother, you know, he testifies and then let's say he turns on his family, he still has to go home to them, or, you know, like, then you don't know what's going to happen. Is he going to disappear next? I mean, It's who knows what kind of threatening things happened and what came from that. But it'll be interesting to see if anything ever comes out of that, or what. But just anything dismemberment wise is like just hard to. But when you like just hear about someone being a good person and friend too, like she literally did nothing to deserve anything. She tried to help him. So on that note, I know we're talking about fun facts, not fun facts, but random facts. There was a bunch, and this one is really not that big or interesting, but I kind of was like, oh, did you know the electric chair was invented by a dentist?
No.
I know. I thought that was really random and weird. And I guess I've never put thought into like who came up with that. Like, that's a terrible, like, who says, let's electrocute the shit out of someone.
And I would be like afraid. Could you imagine if you had been that dentist patient? Like, what did he think of this when he was working on my teeth?
No.
Was he like, wouldn't it be great if I could just
send
some voltage into this person?
I guess I never thought, like, who came up with this horrible way to kill a person? Which, you know, I think about the movie, is it The Green Mile? Where, like,
Oh my God. I
know. If anyone knows, you know, like, if you've seen that movie, it's awful. But I just think even horrible people, like, that have done horrible things, like, I'm surprised. I mean, I can see why they ruled it as cruel and unusual punishment. However, most of the times what these people did was worse than that anyway.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, who says, like, I really hate bad people. Let's just make this the worst possible thing we could ever do. Let's
cook them from the
inside out. It was a dentist. No wonder people are scared of the dentist. That was my circle connection there. Dentist sucks. So, okay, that was it. That's all I had. I know this is kind of a long episode. I'll cut that nice and short. Short, like an hour later, 2 hours later. But
it's
that's
fine.
That, guys. So
just a reminder, everything's in the show notes. Like, if you want to join us on February 2nd at Malvern Manor, you can buy tickets at Eventbrite. The link is in our show notes. Follow us on all the social medias. Like, rate, review, share, just talk about us. It helps us out. We greatly appreciate it.
That we do, yes.
You know, and until next time, stay heartland kind.
But darkland wary.